What was your motivation in teaching your students?
It might be kind of silly. When I was like in school, I liked every page I used to sign it. I was like, check it and then sign it and sign. You know, I used to then take my cousin's notebooks and check it again and again and again, sign by name and saying good, very good, excellent, outstanding writing, giving stars and all. And when I was on short of notebooks, I started taking up newspapers. I said, you know, let's check those, checking those and putting our sign there. Good, very good, excellent. So by that, you know, thing, I got motivation that I should teach. I can teach. I saw, you know, many of my aunts, they also started teaching as well. So when I saw that, you know, teaching is a noble job because they are the profession who creates all other professions. A teacher, if there's no teacher, you cannot become a pilot or whatever in the world. You cannot become that. Teaching is the noble job. That's what I think. Thing motivated me a lot to teach.
That's really awesome. I love that inspiration, that motivation. I love how you had this urgency just to check off and put your signature on things and grade things. You had that already teacher mentality. Is it commonly thought that one can teach remotely online from anywhere in the world, thus allowing for a nomadic lifestyle? Has that been your experience?
I had experienced both of the things. I have got to teaching in school as well and teaching online. But, you know, teaching in school has a different kind of atmosphere. And teaching online has a different kind of atmosphere. Because what happens when you are in school, you are in physical, you can physical touch, you know, a person. You can have different kind of activities there. You can actually see the person. That's in the real life, you can see the person. So, you know, it has a different kind of impact on the child or the kids, you know, and if they're the student in general has a different kind of impact on students as well as the teacher, because you feel more and more, you know, enthusiastic. You feel like there, you feel more encouraged when you are there and teaching. When it comes to online teaching, there are many, you know, disadvantages and advantages as well. That you are in your home, you might get, you know, a shout from back, hey, do this work. Hey, where's my thing? You know, getting sounds of your all crockery and all going on there, making food and all, you know, ting, 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 going on everything. That's a big disadvantage, as well as electricity. The person who's not having a good backup or not having a good internet connection. So they might, you know, get into the thing that, okay, they are teaching in between. If there's a cut down, then, you know, it gets interrupted. You will lose a good student by that if you will stop in between. So, you know, as well as online teaching, it's kind of advantageous as well. Staying at home, you can teach. You can go wherever you want. You can travel the whole world and you can still teach. Teaching in school kind of, you know, feels like more interesting. If you want to gain, you know, if you want to travel the world, if you want to stay at comfort and then teach. Online, you know, it's really, really amazing.
That's wonderful that you shared your experience about that. And then love how you described the different energies from online and how in-person teaching your classes. So it's really intriguing. What cultural norms do you learn while teaching your students in your classes?
I have students, you know, from many countries, mostly Asian countries. Those are Japan, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Korea, South Korea, not the North, Vietnam, Indonesia, Thailand, all of the Asian countries, most of them, you know. And if you want to know specifically in Asia, the ASEAN countries, A-S-E-A-N, ASEAN countries, mostly because their English comes as a second language. I have most of the students from there. Just by teaching the students, I started liking K-pop, Chinese songs and all, you know. I'm like, wow, they have influenced me so much. That now I have come at that point where I started, you know, I don't like music of our country, that is India's music, like Bollywood songs and all. Those are good, but, you know, I'm not interested. I'm more interested in Chinese songs, Korean songs, you know, Tagalog songs and all. So, you know, it has influenced me a lot. Same as well with culture, because earlier I used to just, you know, celebrate what we have here, what we do here. I started celebrating like Chinese New Year as well. Spring festival, then starting your Christmas 10 days before from today only, December. All of the cultures, they have influenced me a lot by just by teaching the student. Because when a teacher is teaching, the person, the teacher also gets to learn a lot from the student. In terms of culture, it has influenced me a lot. But when I go to in parts of customs and traditions, I still, you know, stick by my tradition, because that I don't want to, you know, forget. Those are very important to me. I want to continue and I want to, you know, spread what's our tradition, what we do actually. But taking someone's L, you know, customs and all, it's absolutely fine. It's up to person whether they want to take it or not. That's the thing. They have influenced me a lot.
That's so wonderful that you're learning such wonderful customs and culture and music from your students. They're learning from you just as you're learning from them. So it's like a really great synergy between you guys. Did being an English language teacher inspire you to learn a second language for yourself?
Okay, yes, it inspired me. Like, I have studied French for 3 years. Then I started learning Thai. And then after that, I started learning Chinese, Mandarin. But I stopped in between in terms of Thai and Mandarin because it's quite hard. And, you know, my schedule was not allowing me to have those classes because it was fully packed. I don't want to, you know, waste my sleeping time. It was just for 5 hours in whole through 24 hours. So I was like, no, let's stop it. Let's keep it on halt. And then whenever I, you know, come out of my busy schedule, I'll start, you know, doing it once again. Yeah. So, but now I'm learning Tagalog, which is the language of Philippines, because as I'm half Filipino, I have just stayed 4 years in my childhood Philippines. So I think, so, you know, I'm not that good at speaking Tagalog, but now I have started taking classes for that.
That is amazing. You are just a wealth of knowledge and four languages, that's a lot to learn. And so I bet you're really great with connecting with your students as well, just speaking a bit in their language. How did you get started as an English language teacher? Talk us through it.
I started it when I was 15 years old. I started, you know, giving private tuitions in my school, actually, first of all, that the students there who are from like grade 6, 7, or 8, they approached me asking me that, okay, how to do that? Because I was kind of good in English in terms of grammar, writing and all. So they asked me that, okay. At that time, my accent was not this. My accent was totally different. It was an Indian accent at that time. So Indian accent is kind of, you know, hard when you are speaking, because if I'll speak now Indian accent, you will feel like, oh, what he's speaking.
It was sound like a completely different language.
Completely different. You know, that's the thing. You will feel like, oh, I never heard of this word. Because in Indian, you know, accent, we emphasize on each of the word. We speak it like, you know, okay, what is your name? How are you doing? To stress on each word. You can find that, okay, that's a different person.
Yes.
That's a totally different accent.
Different voice.
So at that time, yeah, my speaking was not that good. Frankly speaking, that my speaking was not at all good. I think so on this scale of 1 to 10, it was just 1 or 2. I think I was so bad in English. My grammar was my, you know, strength. My grammar and my writing were like, okay, I can do much more better than anyone else in my whole school. So I started, you know, giving tuitions to them. Well, the teachers didn't knew that, okay, I'm giving classes to them, because they approached me privately that, okay, Shrey, please tell us, you know, how to do this and all. 1 year when I was 16 in my school, they asked me to be a homeroom teacher for grade 6 till class 10 for all of them. So like I had different batches. They were not paying me. And I was kind of, you know, like, oh, why are you not paying me? I'm teaching. I'm like a teacher at your school now. I was getting, you know, a compensation in terms of getting marked internally, getting good grades. So I was like, okay, if this is what I'm getting, then I'm absolutely fine with it, because what else a student wants? A good grades, like getting good grades in their report card and all. So I was like, okay, fine, it's okay for me. At that time, I feel like, okay, I can do much better than this. Just teaching in school, you know, my scope is very small, just limited to one school. I thought, you know, let's try and do some courses of English, so that whenever I will visit, you know, some school, or whenever I'll start teaching online, I will have, you know, a good command of, like, I have this certificate, I can do this and all. Then I did my TEFL, TOEFL, ESL, EFL, all of the 4 certificates. I got it with me. I like, okay, let's keep it. Like whenever, like most of the companies, they ask you that, okay, do you have this yes, certificate? And if you have, it's more advantageous, +1, you can get that job easily. At the age of 17, I started with the first school, the very first school. And well, I was paid low, but that didn't matter me too. You know, that was like, okay, it's absolutely fine. I don't care about the pay, because what I feel like meeting with different people and giving out the best of best knowledge that I have, especially what I like grading the papers and checking it and keeping a sign. So that motivated me a lot as well. Half in the mid of the year, I started with online teaching of English. I started like, okay, I can teach online as well, because there's no requirement of bachelor's degree. You just need some certificates like TESOL, anything. So I had TESOL, I have TOEFL. So I'm like, okay, let's apply. Let's check our luck whether, you know, if it gets on spot, if it's hit. So like I can teach them. So I applied 3 or 4 companies at that time. I got accepted in 3 of them, but I choose only one. You cannot, you know, teach like staying at one platform. They have a policy that you cannot teach at other platform. You have to stay here only. I was not an independent one. So I started teaching, you know, at that time, I think so 2.5 years from ago, I started teaching at that time.
From that time, I keep on traveling and I keep on teaching. But then after that, I changed my companies as well, because
where I was teaching, I, you know, felt like there's no growth. I'm stuck at only one place. And when you are working somewhere, you know, you want some growth, development must be there. Just, you know, stuck at one place, it's like, okay, your life has already stopped. In between, you are not going up, you are not going down, and nobody wants to get, you know, down from what they are. Everyone wants to get a development, whether it's in life, whether you are taking in profession and all. Yeah, at that time I feel like, okay, let's change the company now. Here I am now, this company where I'm working now. I started teaching 6 months ago.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey, Sheree. That is a wonderful different levels and different transitions that got you here to being a very great and beautiful teacher now. Is it necessary to have a side hustle or an additional source of income while teaching English?
Depends upon if you are a native speaker,
which I am not, if I see from different side, because I have 3 nationalities. I have 3 countries. One is India, as I'm half Indian. One is Philippines, as I'm half Filipino.
My mother is a Filipina. And as my mother was traveling through England, when she got into labor, England, British passport as well. My birthplace is Croydon in England. So I was, okay, kind of complicated, I think. At first, you know, I didn't know that, okay, like native speakers get paid, you know, much more than what native speaker gets. So if you are going, you know, full time in some good companies, because some of the companies outside, if you will see, basically in online one, the pay is not that good, native speaker, according to that level, what they speak, what they teach. If you want to have, you know, a side hustle or something like that, you can have that. But be sure that in the company's policy where you are working, it's written that you're an independent contractor. Because if they find out that, okay, you are working for someone else as well, then they might terminate you.
Because this happened to one of my friends. She was working with me in the same company that I, what I'm working in now.
She started working in a different company as well. So according to our company's policy, they told that, okay, no side, you know, hustle or something like that. There should not be any place other than our platform. You can teach. She actually started teaching at some other platform, you know, aside, you can say a part-time, but the company got to know about that and they terminated her. That's, you know, the thing. First, check the terms and conditions the company you are working in. If they allow you, then it's good. And if they don't allow you, then probably if the pay is not that good, you can change the company. Don't apply to that company. If you don't feel like it's, you know, the income is very good or it's not enough for you.
Thank you for those advice also about just reading through the contract and being more mindful of the different additional incomes you can get while working certain companies. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your teaching career?
Kind of difficult question, because there are so many things that I thought that I had known before. One of the things that I feel like, okay, I should have known, that is, you know, patience level. How to increase your patience level, because I don't have patience at all. On the scale of 1 to 10, my patience level is just like 2, I think so, according to me. I can't, you know, actually tolerate if the person is not participating in my class. So I'm like, okay, if you want to study, if get the knowledge, what I'm teaching, that you have to be interested. You should take participation and active participation in my class. You should respond when I'm asking you something. I think so that's a very big disadvantage, or you can say a big default fault in me, that I don't have patience level at all. I should have, you know, known how to increase my patience level, but I'm working on it now, but it takes a lot of time. When you are already accustomed to what you are doing now, it's hard to adapt, you know, with those things.
Mm-hmm. Of course, having patience is definitely key, and we're all working in progress. Do the majority of your students reside in one country, or are they spread out all over the world across several time mm-hmm. zones? Does that pose any challenges for you, Shirai?
Well, as I told you before, that my students basically are from Asian countries mostly. Yeah. Yeah. So in Asian countries, mostly the time difference is around 4 hours, maximum 4 hours where I'm staying now. If you will check, like Japan is 3.5 hour ahead of us. Same with, I think, so Korea as well, 3.5 hour. And when it comes to Thailand, it's just 1 hour ahead. Philippines, 2.5 hour. Same thing, you know, with China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, they are just like, you know, in the range of one to 4 hours. It's just, that's the time difference. So I can cope up with it, but in the morning, you know, it's kind of difficult for me because I sleep at 4:30 or 4 a.m. at the Japanese time, because my students are there who like to take classes very late. And then I have some students who wants to take class early in the morning, but I can't, you know, because when I'll sleep at 4 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. in the morning, I can't wake up at 6 and again start, you know, giving classes. But I can do that if they, you know, if they have some exams or something like that, I do that thing. But sometimes it's kind of challenging when you are having students from all over the world. It's kind of hard when you are teaching and you have students like someone is from this country, someone is from that country. You have to adjust your timing according to their schedule, that, okay, I'm free at that time, teacher. Okay, let's see what I can do. And you have to actually, you know, make yourself available for them if you want to teach them.
Yeah, definitely. It's a juggling best, trying to figure out the best time zone to sleep and to accommodate. So that's good that you have a great handle on that, Shirai. What is one of the common myths about your profession that you want to debunk for us as an English language teacher topic?
Basic myth that I always get to hear is that if you are an English teacher, you know everything. What? No. I know grammar. I know linking sounds and all. I know how to write. I know how to read. But if you will ask me something about science, how do you make this vaccine? No, I can't tell you that. That doesn't mean being an English teacher, you know everything. You know about English. You know how to, you know, speak English. You know how to write English. You know how you can teach in a good way. If you're a teacher, the, you know, person say that you are an English teacher. Okay, so tell me about when, like, this war happened. I'm not a history teacher. I'm an English teacher. Thing that I get to hear the most here in India, in Philippines, yeah.
I want you to wear many hats, and your profession and your expertise is English. And so it could be a little bit of miscommunication.
Wrong information, which I don't know. I don't want to, you know, make it up. Like this happened and this. Because what I'll tell that person's going to share it to a different person. And then, you know, the chain goes long and long and long. And you know what happens? Wrong information leads to disasters.
Thorough and as correct as possible. So that's good that you put that out there for everyone. Do you have a preference in teaching adults or children in your classes? If so, why?
In terms of preference, I feel more comfortable, you know, teaching adults, mostly, you know, above 16 or 17 years old, above, because I feel a connection between them and me. I feel like, okay, that person can, you know, interpret what they want to say, actually, because small kids, they can't say that, okay, when I'll ask them, do you have any questions? So they can't say that, okay, I have this question. What do you say this? How to write this? They can't say all this thing because they are still, you know, new to English. So when it comes to, you know, most of the kids, they can't speak out what they want to say. So it feels, you know, kind of lack in communication, and I can't teach, you know, better if they can't tell me that what they didn't understand, something like that. When it comes to adults, as I told you, I feel a connection between them and me. So I'm like, okay, I can teach them better. they can tell me that what they, you know, didn't understand. And then I can, you know, tell them in a good way, more and more simpler way, how to do this, how to do that. So yeah, in terms of preference, I feel more comfortable teaching, you know, adults.
Okay, yeah, definitely. I understand how it could be a bit complicated with trying to teach children. They can't ask you questions. You can't get any feedback or suggestions. And with adults, you actually, you know, have a great conversation with them. You can ask them questions.
As you asked me that, you know, about cultures and all, the very first question, I think so. So when you are teaching adults, you can get to know many culture, you know, and all the things. When you're teaching kids, they can't explain that why do we celebrate this, how to do this and all the things. So yeah, if you want to know about the traditions, culture of different countries, then yes, then you have to teach the adults if you want to know about more and more different cultures.
Okay, yes, that definitely makes sense to tailor your lesson plans around more cultures to adults, because they understand and they understand that type of level of knowledge. Employ warm-ups or introductions in your classes? If so, would you like to share some with our audience?
How I greet when it enters my class. So I'm like, okay, welcome to ABC Company. So first of all, can you see and hear me clearly? So this is teacher Shrey. What's your name? The person says, what's his or her name? Okay, Samantha. So good to see you today in my class. How are you doing today? Okay, that's great. Good to know that you are doing good. So I can see that today you have chosen business English for this lesson. Is that correct? The person says, yes, it's correct or not correct. Then I say, okay, that's great. So today's lesson is business English and the title of the lesson is Car in a Car Wash. The person says, yes. And then I say, okay, so before starting the lesson, can you tell me that how was your day today? Like anything new you did today, something fun or something like you got to somewhere, you met your friends or something like that. Explain that what they did today. Then I ask them, did you have your lunch or dinner or your breakfast according to the time? Then they say yes. And then what did you have today? The person says, I had this and all, you know. So if you want to catch attention of students, you have to, you know, just show them you are interested in them. You have to show that you care about them. So they will feel like, okay, this teacher feels like, you know, friendly teacher. Teachers ask me that, how was my day today? Because there are some students who are, you know, who just come to talk with you, who just want someone to talk with them, you know, because they feel lonely or something like that, because most of them living alone. So I'm like, okay. So you have to first get to know that how the person is feeling and all, because I have got many students actually, you know, who are feeling lonely, who don't feel good, you know, staying alone, and also they visit my class just for a free conversation. What I feel, you have to make a connection between you and your student if you want to become their favorite teacher, if you want them to take your class again and again and again.
Yeah, I definitely love that you have to give like a great connection with your students. And I love how you gave us a little sample of that introduction. I can envision that. I felt like the student.
This is just for adults, different props and all. I use a filter one as well to become, okay, which animal do you like? Oh, so you like horse. And then I will have a, you know, horse filter. And do you like rabbits? Okay, so now teacher rabbit will teach you today. So for kids, it's a kind of different. This one, which I told you just now, is for, you know, any adult from teenager till 60s, 70s, 80s.
It's universal, the first one. Do you have any teaching philosophies that you follow in your classroom?
Go by what I have been taught in my schools and all, what the teacher actually taught me. And one more thing, I travel to different countries just in search of how the students want to, you know, be taught, how they want to learn, what are the methods they like when there is teaching. So I went to Japan. Most of the countries where from where I have students like Japan, China, Taiwan, and Vietnam, Thailand. I went there to just to see how, you know, students are being taught in the class, how they like, you know, the what methods are there, what makes them, you know, feel excited and all. I feel like, you know, you should just get to know, and you have to be self-reflective. That's the thing, you know, in teaching and learning. Concentrate on the examples, more on visual aids, because when a person sees something, they will remember it again and again and again. Okay, I saw that mountain. That resembles this. But I feel like caring students, children's, especially children, kids can feel, you know, safe. They can speak their mind because they are just like, you know, small buds who are just flowering just now, budding. So I'm like, okay, they can blossom and they can grow as well. Very last thing in humanity, you should never discriminate, you know, someone based any something like that, that, okay, you are from this country, you are from that country, I'm not going to teach you, I'm not going to teach that. Have humanity, just one thing when you are teaching, just one thing you should have in yourself, no caste, no religion, no gender, nothing like that. Just one thing, that is humanity.
It's a great quote to live by. Those are great philosophies to live by. Caring and also no discrimination and prejudice in your classes. And then also using teaching aids and visual aids in your classes. That's where can people find you in the internet, Sheree?
You can find me on my FB. You can find me on Instagram as well. If you want to personally contact me, then I have Line Chat as well, Messenger. You can send me a message through Messenger, but if you are very new to me, it will take me time to, you know, reply to you, because first I have to check whether the person is legit or not. I take that. For very personal things, I have Line Chat. I have WhatsApp out there who want to contact me, who want to ask anything about how teaching, or because I'm a humanities student, I like to study history, political science, and geography, other than English, because English is my major that I'm doing now. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Line Chat, as well as Star Maker. That's the place where I sing and I have my live broadcast.
Can you like tell us twice more about or twice that?
About Star Maker?
Yes.
Okay, so Star Maker, you know, is a platform where it was actually meant for just singing, but now they have added options for live broadcasting as well, where you can sing. And every January, I start doing live Zumba classes there on Star Maker, free of cost. Very next thing is that every week, like twice or thrice a week, I do live broadcasting, maybe sometimes whole week as well. So it depends upon that. And I start give tips as well. I teach there as well, free of cost sometimes, especially as it's a singing app. So I sing as well there.
Can you give us a sample? I know. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Sheree. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much, Samantha. It means a lot, first of all, you know, because you are the first person today I'm seeing face to face and who has, you know, wished me today from face to face. So I'm like, okay. So it feels really good to have, you know, you wished me today. You invited me to your podcast. And anyone who wants to contact me, you can contact Samantha first. Okay. Where to contact me. And I'll give her my mail ID as well. So yeah, you can contact me there as well.
Thank you so much, Sheree, for jumping on the podcast, especially on your most specialist day, your birthday. And we really appreciate the love.
Thank you so much, Samantha. Thank you.
That was an end to another show. Please visit the website at www.teachingonlineenglish.com for the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to get notifications of the next show. Talk with you soon.